Los Angeles Lakers traveling over to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Pelicans. A game that in the third quarter, the Lakers had a nice little 10-point lead or so, at times even bigger than that, 15. And then New Orleans came storming back in the fourth quarter. Great production from Zion Williamson. And I've been critical of Zion Williamson on the show. If you've listened, you've heard. I would say that from what I've seen, at least, last night might have been Zion Williamson's best game in the NBA. He was absolutely dominant. The Lakers did not have a stop to him. He played 36 minutes, had 40 points, 17 of 27 from the field, had 11 rebounds and 5 assists. He was really the only offense, only consistent offense, I'll say, from this Pelican squad, because CJ McCollum struggled big time in this one. He was 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 9 from beyond the arc. Brandon Ingram was a no factor. He was 4 of 12 in this game. He's coming off an injury, but it was really interesting seeing Willie Green, the Pelicans head coach, bench Brandon Ingram late in this game. And I didn't even get to this part yet, but Zion Williamson gets hurt late in this fourth quarter. And even with that being the case, Brandon Ingram is not subbed back into this game in crunch time. Willie Green opted to go away from his all-star, Brandon Ingram, late in this game. Ingram finished just playing 25 minutes, was outplayed by bench guys. Larry Nance had 28 minutes in this game. Jose Alvarado off the bench had 25. He played great, honestly. Trey Murphy III had 31 minutes off the bench. So a weird situation with Brandon Ingram. Late in the game, Willie Green opts to go away from his all-star. Again, coming off an injury, but still, especially with Zion going down, you would think you want to get as much offense in that lineup as possible. And as I mentioned, late in that fourth quarter, Zion Williamson drives to the lane, scores, and then as he's walking back up the court, you can see him wince in pain a little bit and then motion to the sidelines. And then right after that, he just walks straight into the locker room as if he knew that he had re-injured something, goes into the locker room. We don't see him again for the rest of the game. And then it was reported later on today, earlier today, that it is a left hamstring injury. And he will not play in Friday's play-in tournament elimination game against Sacramento. And on top of that, even if the Pelicans are to move on, he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So even if the Pelicans are to move on, Zion will miss significant games in that first round. Hypothetically, again, we don't know if they will move on. Still have to play Sacramento. Spoiler alert, we have not gotten to that game, but we will. But Zion, an interesting situation there where you really couldn't pinpoint. I watched the replay a number of times. I was watching it live. And you really couldn't pinpoint, there, that's where he injured himself. Usually with a lot of injuries, you can see that. It's tougher here with Zion, but immediately he seemed to know, like, this might have been a situation where he re-aggravated something in his hamstring. But shout out to Zion, because, again, I have been critical of him on the show. I'm not going to shade away from that. But watching this game, he was the Pelicans' only offense. He was going, and a lot of times, Anthony Davis and LeBron James were the primary defenders on him, and he was going right at those guys. And on the other side of that, a lot of times for the Pelicans, Zion Williamson was the primary defender on LeBron James, so he wasn't ducking anybody. He played a great game. Again, I really do believe, even though he wasn't able to finish this game, and again, if he was able to finish this game, I think it could have been different. Things could have gone a lot differently because the Lakers go on to win 110-106. Ends up being a four-point game. And again, if Zion's out there, things possibly could have gone a lot differently. As for the Lakers, good game from LeBron James. He finished with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. He was the high point man. Anthony Davis had 20 points, 15 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell added 21 points. A well-rounded effort from the Lakers. And Reggie Miller, who was on the call for TNT last night, He had a tough moment there in the broadcast. Late in the game, with 2.7 seconds left to go of the game, the Lakers were shooting free throws, and they were up by 2 points with 2.7 remaining in the game. And he said, I forget at the time who was shooting the free throws, but he said on the broadcast, he goes, should they miss the second free throw instead of making both so that the Pelicans, who didn't have a timeout at the time, could run out the remaining 2.7 seconds of the clock? Or he then goes on to say, you could make both and you'd be up four and the game essentially would be over. Obviously, both free throws went in. And as I mentioned, the Pelicans go on to lose by that 4-point margin. But Reggie Miller essentially on the broadcast had the live thought of, huh, would it be better to be up 3 points with 2.7 seconds left to go or 4 points with 2.7 seconds left to go? Tough math there. It's tough math there for you non-math wizards. But Reggie Miller, I think his brain just kind of fell asleep on him there late in the game. And hey, you know, I won't knock him too harshly. I will knock the people suggesting ahead of this game, there was a lot of people like Mike Greenberg on ESPN suggesting that the Lakers should lose this game on purpose in order to not have to play the Denver Nuggets. Whoever, and there was a few people on top of Mike Greenberg on TV, on national media, by the way, that were agreeing with this stance. You guys are morons. I'll just go flat out and say that. You're morons. To have the thought, and Magic Johnson actually tweeted about it saying, that's an idiotic stance. The Lakers shouldn't duck anybody, and I agree with him. But to have the idea, oh, because the Nuggets won last year, teams should be avoiding them and trying to play OKC instead, who have the number one seed. OKC is incredibly talented, and they've been just as good as Denver has been this year. So that notion was straight up idiotic. And Darvin Ham also commented on it after the game saying, hey, we're not ducking anybody. I appreciated that. And here we go. So we're set up. We have that series set in place. Lakers, Nuggets, they played last year against each other. Nuggets obviously moved on, but we have the rematch in round one. It is going to be Denver versus the Nuggets. Excuse me, Denver. The Lakers versus the Nuggets. I apologize. I just had my brain fall asleep like Reggie Miller. So maybe I shouldn't be so critical of him. Nuggets versus Lakers, round one should be a good one. As for that second game last night, not as close of a game. The Kings at home. Shout out to the Kings fans, man. They showed out. That stadium was rocking all night long. Shout out to those Kings fans. That was a hostile environment for the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors just did not come out to play. And I got to say it. We just saw the Apple TV docuseries of the Patriots dynasty run. Now that the Patriots dynasty, we can confidently say it's all over. Sorry, rebuilding time. But I can confidently say that about the Warriors now as well. That dynasty run is over. Klay Thompson was awful in this game, and he's headed for free agency in the summer. He was atrocious. On top of that, Steph Curry and Draymond Green weren't all that much better. But Klay Thompson in this one, he started, played 32 minutes, was 0-for-10 from the field, and 0-for-6 from beyond the arc. Draymond Green had 12 points. Steph Curry had 22. They were making it really hard on Steph Curry all game long. And shout out to Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis was integrated into that starting lineup for Sacramento because of the injuries to Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. He had the primary job of being the primary defender on Steph Curry. And Keon Ellis, again, shout out to him. In year two out of Arkansas, played like an absolute dog last night. He made it uncomfortable for Steph Curry all night long. He was everywhere. Shout out Keon Ellis, sensational in this game. Shout out Keegan Murray again. The Sacramento Kings, I mentioned this yesterday, dealing with a lot of injuries. They needed more help from their role player guys. Keegan Murray went out there and poured in 8 threes. He was 8 of 13 from beyond the arc, finished with 32 points. He was sensational in this game, and Sacramento lives to fight another day as they will go on to play the New Orleans Pelicans without Zion Williamson. They're going to be headed to New Orleans on Friday without Zion Williamson. Right now, Sacramento opens up as 1.5-point favorites on the road against the Pelicans. I got to lean with Sacramento in that game just based on the dominance I saw from them in this game. And as I mentioned, it does seem like You can start that Apple TV docuseries production because I think that Warriors dynasty run is officially over. Klay Thompson headed for free agency. Steph Curry after the game with some comments in the post-game press conference saying, I just want to win. Didn't really seem like he cared where that was. But all in all, a failed season for Golden State. They are headed home. Sacramento lives to fight another day. Friday night, they'll be in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans without Zion Williamson. More across the NBA, keeping you updated with what's going on with Jonte Porter. The younger brother of Denver's Michael Porter has been given a lifetime ban by Adam Silver and the NBA. The NBA put out a press conference today saying they have given Jonte Porter a lifetime ban for gambling. In the league's statement, the league's investigation found that prior to the Raptors' March 20th game, Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. Another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay which ended up winning around $1 million. On top of that, investigation also showed that the 13 NBA bets Porter made totaled payouts of around $76,000. Three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets and included one Raptors game in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose. So Jonte Porter, we talked a little bit about this, how he was placing some prop bets on himself, things of that nature. It didn't look good for Jonte Porter right off the bat. And Adam Silver and really the rest of professional sports, like this is something that we've already seen it in the MLB with the Shohei Ohtani incident. We've already seen it in the NFL with Calvin Ridley and many others. But now that sports gambling is becoming so much more accessible and more legal, you got to make a statement when you have guys going against the rules here and betting on their own teams. And that's exactly what Adam Silver did. He makes a statement. Jonte Porter has been given a lifetime ban from the NBA. More in the NBA here. Grant Williams, the managing director of United States men's basketball, has announced the final 12-man roster. He started the process of going around to these NBA players, giving them their jersey. He was in Boston, giving Jason Tatum and Jrue Holiday their Team USA jerseys. But I mentioned they had 11 out of the 12 roster spots filled. And now they have 12 out of 12 as it has been announced. Kawhi Leonard of the Los Angeles Clippers will fill that 12th spot in Paris for Team USA. So the final roster includes LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum. I would assume, we'll have to see, maybe not Tatum, maybe Booker there, but I would assume that's your starting five. That looks probably like your starting five. Kawhi Leonard, Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton round out that Team USA squad. Looking solid. Well, not if you ask Colin Coward. They're basically the same person. They're the same person. They're both idiots. But Colin Coward, on his show The Herd, was talking about Team USA, and he said, if you take LeBron James and Steph Curry off this roster, yikes. Bam Adebayo, who he mispronounced his name, by the way. This is someone who's on national TV, and he mispronounced an NBA superstar. And Bam Adebayo, he called him Bam Adebayo. That's how he pronounced his name, Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo has once in his career averaged over 20 a game. That was what he was basically saying to back his opinion that, wow, this is a bad-looking team. Well, Bam Adebayo is more of a defensive player, Colin. And if you knew anything about the NBA, that was the main reasoning of why they added Bam Adebayo. Adebayo, again, if you're listening, that's how you pronounce that name. And Jrue Holiday. Those two guys weren't added to the roster for their scoring. They were added for defensive purposes. On top of that, you listed LeBron James and Steph Curry. What about Kevin Durant averaging 28 points per game? What about Joel Embiid averaging over 30 points per game? What about Tatum averaging over 27 points per game? Devin Booker over 27 points per game? Anthony Edwards over 26 points per game? So it basically just shows, like, Colin Coward in this little tangent he went on today on The Herd basically showed his cards of, oh, hey, The only NBA players I really know are Steph Curry and LeBron James. I don't really recognize a lot of these names, so wow, this team must suck. That's basically what Colin Cowherd told me via his rant today. But we'll have to see. I think it's a good-looking squad. I don't have much of an issue. I mentioned that, and I understand Team USA and Grant Hill's idea here. I would have probably opted for that Jrue Holiday spot for Donovan Mitchell, maybe. That was my original thought process back in January where I did my predictions. But all in all, I'm cool with Jrue. I mean, he's a dog defensively, and that's what you need in a tournament like this coming up in July. So that Team USA squad is set, and I don't agree with Colin Cowherd. I think Team USA looking pretty solid. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here. Going to come back and we'll talk some MLB. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
At The O'Brien's Pub, it's always about good food, good friends, good times. It's no accident that The O'Brien's has been named in Rhode Island Monthly's Best of Newport County as the best neighborhood bar in 2000, 2001, 2022, and 23. Their menu accommodates all ages and appetites. And their fireplace adds warmth and comfort in these colder months. The O'Brien's Pub, 501 Thames, Newport. Follow them on Instagram.
This is Steve Lombardi, Executive Director of the East Greenwich Chamber of Commerce. We have been the business voice of East Greenwich since 1929. Our mission is to promote business development and foster cooperation between business, government, and the community. We are committed to helping to make East Greenwich a better place to live, work, play, dine, shop, and do business. The Chamber provides many benefits such as networking events, townwide gift certificates, business education opportunities, and lobbying efforts. The Chamber promotes many community events such as our Main Street Strolls, East Greenwich Restaurant Week, the Greenwich Odeum, the EG Farmers Market, and many others. Membership in the Chamber says you support the business community and the community as a whole, and that you want to be part of moving us forward. For membership information, contact me at 401-885-0020 or steve@eastgreenwichchamber.com. You can also visit us at eastgreenwichchamber.com.
AIDS Project Rhode Island provides services for those living with HIV and AIDS,
along with educational activities to prevent further transmission of HIV.
Join Nairobi and your neighbors for AIDS Run Walk for Life on Saturday, May 4th at Pierce Field in East Providence.
Registration starts at 8 a.m. and the kickoff starts at 9.
More information is at AIDSprojectRI.org and Cardies.com.
AIDS Run Walk for Life is at Pierce Field, East Providence, Saturday, May 4th.
The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, a local favorite since 1980, and a longtime supporter of Aquidneck Island youth sports programs. The Brick Alley is the 2021 winner as Newport's Best Restaurant, as well as being a past winner of Rhode Island Restaurant of the Year. There's something for everyone at the Brick. Anytime's a great time to do the Brick's famous nacho platters. Their award-winning burgers, steaks, and seafood dishes, and so much more. And just as in the world of sports, teamwork is everything at the Brick Alley. So come on in and see what the incredible team at the Brick can do for you. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant is open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner starting at 11:30 a.m. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, 140 Thames Street, downtown Newport. A classic dining experience since 1980.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. Dr. Jonathan Saborin is a local foot and ankle specialist with offices in Middletown and Fall River. We are dedicated to caring for all of your foot and ankle issues. Dr. Saborin will diagnose and treat conditions of the foot or ankle, whether it's hammer toes, ingrown toenails, bunions, we've got you covered. Dr. Saborin is a board-certified podiatric surgeon who is a leader in foot and ankle surgery, not only on Aquidneck Island, but throughout Rhode Island and Massachusetts. He does it all with the assistance from his knowledgeable and friendly staff. Give us a call today to schedule an appointment to address your foot health issues. We want our patients to feel heard, cared for, and in good health. Coastal Foot and Ankle will treat you like family because that's what you are, part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Call our locally owned and operated podiatric medical facility located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza, or give us a call to schedule an appointment at 849-2157 and be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
1540 WADK is online at WADK.com. Now giving you the information you need day and night at WADK.com.
Here on the Big Ticket, talk a little MLB. Quite a bit of day games going on in baseball. Final from Detroit. Texas Rangers coming to town, take care of business 5-4 over the Detroit Tigers. Also final today from Milwaukee, a little pitcher's duel. The Brewers at home take care of business over the Padres 1-0, although the Padres' Michael King flirted with a no-no here. He took a no-no into the seventh inning where he gave up a run. But Mike King with a solid day on the mound for San Diego. He goes 7 2/3 with 10 strikeouts, unfortunately, suffers the tough luck loss as Milwaukee goes on to win 1-0 at home. Luis Severino, now with the New York Mets, a former Yankee pitcher. Solid outing today as he gets the win, his second win of the season with the Mets, as the Mets take care of business at home, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates 9-1. A crazy eighth inning gave him a big lead, and the Mets go on to get their 10th W of the season. Also final from Baltimore, the Orioles at home beating the Minnesota Twins 4-2. That one has gone final. Gunnar Henderson led off the game, with a solo shot to get the scoring starting. Cedric Mullins also goes yabo in this one as the Orioles, they snag their 12th W of the season. And also, final from down in Miami, San Francisco comes into town, grabs a quick W, 3-1 over Miami in Miami, as they would go on to win this one by 2 runs. Matt Chapman doubled in a run in the 8th inning to really stretch that lead, a commanding 3-1 lead. Also going on as we speak, in action, bottom of the 7th, Astros versus Braves. Braves right now find themselves down 4-2 in Houston. That one's in the bottom of the 7th. In a doubleheader, game 1, Chicago, the White Sox taking on the Kansas City Royals. Right now, the White Sox down 3-2 against the visiting Kansas City Royals. That one is in the top of the 9th. Right now in Toronto, also, the Blue Jays 2-0 right now over the New York Yankees. That one is in the top of the 5th. Over in L.A., the Dodgers find themselves down by 2 runs, 2-0 to the Washington Nationals. C.J. Abrams goes yabo to lead off the game here. So we had two young shortstops to lead off the game. Homer, a solo home run to lead off the game. Gunnar Henderson does it today against the Twins. And C.J. Abrams does it today out of that leadoff spot for the Nationals. Also going on right now, the Athletics at home taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. The A's right now have a 2-0 lead after 3 innings. Also after 3 innings over in Arizona, the Diamondbacks up 1-0 over the Chicago Cubs. And to round it all out, right now in Seattle, in the top of the 2nd, Seattle find themselves down at 1-0 over the Cincinnati Reds. That's a little look around the MLB. Updating you across the MLB, though, we do have some updates here. As I mentioned, Justin Verlander nearing a return for the Houston Astros. Well, the ace will get the start Friday night against the Washington Nationals. That was announced today. He will be back in action. The 3-time Cy Young Award winner coming off the IL due to inflammation in his right shoulder. He made 2 rehab starts in AAA and now is set to go. He's going to get the start Friday night against the Washington Nationals. Closer to home here, Rafael Devers last night left the game against the Cleveland Guardians after hurting his left knee. It happened while he was making a play on a ground ball. He said, "I felt it there after that ground ball that I couldn't step on my left leg." So manager Alex Cora said he's going to undergo some testing and they will try to see what and how long this injury will last. Obviously, the Sox dealing with a ton of injuries already, and now could be without their two-time All-Star, who's hitting just 205 to start the season. Rafael Devers could miss some time due to that knee injury. Talking some Red Sox, and I know a lot of people a little bit annoyed with ownership, and I think personally for good reason. I saw an even more troubling report. So as we talked about on the show, Larry Lucchino, a longtime part owner of the Boston Red Sox, passed away about a week or two ago. Now, a lot of people have been very annoyed with John Henry and Tom Werner, who are now the controlling owners of the Boston Red Sox. Apparently, neither John Henry or Tom Werner attended Larry Lucchino's funeral. This is coming from Boston Globe. Henry was reportedly feeling ill, while Werner was said to be in England. But given that Lucchino was their partner for 13 years, served as the team president and CEO for 3 World Series championships, and was most responsible for the renovation of Fenway Park, it would have been nice to see them pay their respects as neither one of them. Like, and on top of that, both John Henry and Tom Werner were at Fenway 48 hours earlier for opening day. So it's not like that, you know, they weren't anywhere near the Boston area. That is just incredibly disappointing. Not to pay your respects to a guy that did a lot for that organization is just a big middle finger to really everybody. The fans, his family, everybody. It just basically says, hey, we don't care. And that was kind of already the notion. That was already the thought process of a lot of New Englanders around here, is that, well, it doesn't really seem like this ownership group of the Red Sox really care as much as they used to. They're preoccupied with what they got going with the PGA and what they have going on with the Premier League in soccer and overseas. Whereas the Red Sox are now a secondary thought. And on top of that, to see this, not to pay your respects to your longtime partner, a guy in Larry Lucchino who meant a lot to that area of Boston, to that team, to that fan base, it's just incredibly disappointing. And it just furthers my annoyance toward this ownership group just all the way around. And speaking of being mad at ownership, it has now been reported by multiple sources across the NFL that Robert Kraft apparently called the Atlanta Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick. Apparently, Kraft had a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Bill Belichick. Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and kind of stubborn in the end, and he felt that he wasn't trustworthy. Also, he felt like he was very arrogant. Apparently, this has been seconded by multiple different reports that have basically claimed that in a conversation with Blank, Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character. According to a source who spoke to 2 people, a close friend, Kraft, and a longtime Belichick confidant, the source quoted that Belichick said, Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill, and the account was backed up by the source close to Kraft's family. A very interesting situation. We knew via this documentary that the relationship between Belichick and Kraft kind of had crumbled a bit, but after he'd already been out the door, if this does become true, and Kraft has heard these comments and he's denied everything today, he's starkly denied everything, said that's not true at all. But again, multiple sources and multiple sources that I trust when kind of getting news for this show. Ari Marav in particular, a guy who I quote and get updated news for and is usually very, very on point with his journalism. For this to come out from multiple different sources, after you've already let the guy go, to kind of bash him while he's out the door, that's incredibly disappointing. And I'm already disappointed with Robert Kraft based on his comments and what we saw in that Apple TV documentary. And this to go on top of it, that's just a disappointing day all the way around for New England ownership, really. And shout out Wick Grusbeck, because he's the best one around out of these New England ownership. And I can't really speak to the Bruins, which actually we'll get to in a second. Before we get there, while talking about Belichick, it has also been announced that he will be with on the Pat McAfee show for their draft special. That's going to be next Thursday on ESPN Plus and YouTube TV. But he's going to be with them for that draft April 25th through the 27th. And he's going to join the guys on the Pat McAfee show. So excited to see that. He said he's looking forward to it. He went on to say, I'm still watching film on players in the draft. Obviously, he hasn't closed the door on coaching in the future, but excited to see Bill on the Pat McAfee show, and should be pretty good. So he's starting his possible career in media. While talking about a former coach, let's talk about a new NFL head coach. Well, newish. He's already had a tenure in the NFL, but Jim Harbaugh. It's been revealed that Jim Harbaugh, instead of renting a place in Los Angeles for this offseason, he's just got a big RV and has been at the RV, living in the RV. And apparently he doesn't have cable, so he's just been watching DVDs of his three favorite shows, which are The Rockford Files, Ted Lasso, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. On top of that, new Chargers offensive coordinator Greg Roman has also got a massive RV that's camped out right next to him. Apparently, they spend their evenings just hanging out as guys, talking some football. I love this. I love this from Jim Harbaugh. He's, you know, I'll get a house eventually, but I'm just going to rent an RV, hang out in the RV for the offseason, and get ready for the upcoming year. I love it from Jim Harbaugh. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. Never change. And finally, one last shout out. As I mentioned, I'd be mentioning the Bruins. We don't often talk hockey on the show, but I talked about Mike Gorman, who is retiring as the Celtics' longtime play-by-play announcer, and so is Jack Edwards. Got to shout out Jack Edwards, longtime Nesson play-by-play guy for the Boston Bruins. The Bruins posted to Twitter, he said, Jack, you have been the voice of a golden era of Bruins hockey. Over the course of two decades, you brought passion and authenticity to the Nesson broadcast each night as you narrated so many unforgettable moments and memories for Bees fans across New England. As you enter your next chapter, we thank you for all you've done and wish you and your family the very best. Jack Edwards was outstanding again. I'm not a hockey guy, but I do appreciate a good play-by-play guy. Jack Edwards was incredible in the booth, so shout out to him. Wishing him the best in retirement. And same goes to Mike Gorman. Two legends are leaving Boston sports, unfortunately, so shout out to them. But with that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, and we're going to come back and wrap up this show with the bold takes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Is your home ready for cooling season? Nothing's more annoying than uneven temperatures, or worse, those sweltering hot spots. Superior Comfort has you covered with energy-efficient, all-electric heat pump systems from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. Get precise comfort control in every room, allowing each member of your family to set their own comfort zone. That means a cooler kitchen, a comfier living room, and bedrooms that are just right for a good night's sleep. Call Superior Comfort today at 401-396-4171.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For a contest, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older who reside in the station's listening area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo ID and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winners must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest on-air announcements. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for the current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth here, and it shall not include any or all expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of the prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS Form W-9 or the equivalent. Failure or refusal to execute the release will result in the winner forfeiting the prize. Photo identification and social security number of the grand prize winner may also be required in order to collect the prize. For internet contests, the station, at its sole discretion, reserves the right to disqualify any person tampering with the entry process. The station reserves the right in its sole discretion to modify the contest rules and dates at any time for any reason. No purchase is necessary. The contest is void where prohibited. Copies of the written contest rules and a list of all the winners are available during regular business hours at the main studio of the radio station, 23 Connell Highway, Newport, Rhode Island, 02840.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest a Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest a Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest a Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves you, baby? ArrestaPest.com. 738-3766.
From Newport RI, 1540 WADK and WADK FM 101.1.
Here on The Big Take in our final segment, so it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. My first player tonight is LSU women's basketball head coach Kim Mulkey. I've got a beef with Kim Mulkey. Obviously, LSU lost to Iowa in the Final Four game against Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark went off. And our point guard in that game, Haley Van Lith, she entered the transfer portal following that loss at the end of the season. And Kim Mulkey's comments were, she realized, I need another year. And I need to go back to a place where I can relax and get back to my normal position. And what do? You hug her and you wish her well. Kim Mulkey, I would have transferred after that game if I was Haley Van Lith as well. Haley Van Lith got absolutely torched online, made fun of online for 24 hours after Caitlin Clark just ate her alive in that game. Caitlin Clark, and again, I'm not trying to bash Haley Van Lith at all. She's a fine player. I'm sure she'll end up in the WNBA after this her final season this year. But she transferred to LSU this year to be on a more competitive squad. Great. Awesome. LSU, good team. She gets matched up with Caitlin Clark. And after about 5 minutes of that game, of Haley Van Lith being the one-on-one primary defender on Caitlin Clark, me, the casual basketball fan here, could just clearly say, anybody watching could say, yep, Caitlin Clark's going to dominate her. Caitlin Clark was just doing anything she wanted with Haley Van Lith as the primary defender. And that's not on Haley Van Lith. I want to make that very clear. Caitlin Clark is a generational talent. We have not seen a talent like Caitlin Clark in women's basketball ever. Ever, period. So don't blame Haley Van Lith. As a coach in Kim Mulkey, you have to be able to say, okay, this isn't really working out. What are we going to do? Maybe throw another defender on her. Maybe double team her a bit. Maybe show her some different defensive stances. We'll try some new things. Not keep Haley Van Lith on her for four quarters while she's getting dominated. This is not on Haley Van Lith. Kim Mulkey, this is on you. Her comment is, she needs to go back to a place where she can relax and back to a normal position. Listen, Caitlin Clark is not a normal player. So the way you defend her should not be normal. Don't blame this on Haley Van Lith. Kim Mulkey, awful comments. Take some accountability. You had a big part of that loss against Iowa. Shame on you, Kim Mulkey, my first player tonight. My second player tonight, Boban Marjanovic. We all know Boban. For the past decade or so, he's been a fan favorite on every team he gets on. He's like 7'5" or whatever he is. Big old European dude. Awesome, awesome personality. He's been on a few commercials. Again, just got a great personality. Well, because Houston wasn't playing for anything, they had been mathematically eliminated in their final game of the season back on Sunday. They were playing the Clippers. And Boban was getting some good minutes because the scrubs were out there. Well, it was a meaningless game, and the Clippers run a promo where fans get free chicken nuggets, if any opponent misses two free throws in a row. So Boban misses the first free throw when he goes to the line, and fans are going crazy. Boban then quickly realizes why they're cheering, and he points at the fans going, "Oh, you want me to miss it?" He then misses the second shot on purpose, and throws up his hand to get the fans going, basically saying, "Yeah, I did that for you guys." The commentator on the call was going, "Ah, he gave them free chicken. He did it. He did it on purpose to give them free chicken." I love it. And I hope Boban was able to get some free chicken as well. He's just been a great personality, as I mentioned, in the NBA. Just a fun-loving guy. And this 1,000% was on purpose. He knew what the fans wanted. It was a meaningless game. He missed the second free throw on purpose. He didn't give a damn about his personal stats. He said, "I'm a man of the people. Let's do it." Boban, good on you, brother. You're my second player tonight. My third player tonight is Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith on the TNT broadcast a few days ago said Jalen Brunson has been the best basketball player in the Eastern Conference by far. Brunson has had a great final end to the season. In fact, in his last six games, he's averaging around 38 points per game on 52% shooting. Listen, I'm not knocking the guy at all. He has been sensational. But for Kenny Smith, a man who gets paid a lot of money to talk ball on national TV, for you to say he's been the best player in the Eastern Conference by far, this is the same conference that has Jason Tatum, that has Joel Embiid, that has Giannis Antetokounmpo, that has Tyrese Halliburton, that has, I mean, do I have to keep going? Like, are you kidding me? He's the best player by far? Come on, Kenny. Even you know that's not right. Kenny Smith, my third player tonight. My fourth player tonight is Noel Guzman. Noel Guzman was a goalie who was injured for his team's final. He was the Mexican SC Monterrey goalie. And he couldn't play because he was injured. So he plays for the Tigres. And apparently, in this final game that he couldn't play in, he was caught on cameras shining a laser pointer towards the field from a suite. Guzman was essentially, he was trying to blind the other team's goalie because he couldn't play in the game. Listen, this guy, this is the teammate of the year. I know a lot of people, this is cheating, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it is. I get it. He's the other team's goalie. And he was trying to shine a laser into the other team's goalie's eyes during the game. I just want to say, most players that when they have a season-ending injury, they usually stop coming to the games. This guy not only came to the game, but was actively trying to help his teammates. He needs the soccer equivalent of whatever the soccer equivalent to sixth man of the year is. That's what this guy needs. Rather than, I'm injured, I can't play, I'm not going to show up. Not only did he show up, but he brought props. He brought props to try to help his team win. He said, "All right, if I'm not going to be on the field, I'm going to try to help him in any way I can." Yeah, I know it's cheating. I understand that. But hey, good teammate. Noel Guzman, my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight, this is pretty crazy, is Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay, apparently outside of one of his former pubs in central London, squatters have taken over the pub. Right now, it's currently on sale for $13 million or 13 million pounds or whatever England uses. The group of at least six people have boarded up windows and put up a legal warning defending their occupation of what is called the York and Albany Hotel and the pub. The BBC understands that they want to use the space as a community art cafe. And apparently, they've already started Instagram pages to promote their new cafe. That's just going to be a shelter. They're calling it an art shelter and cafe. I don't understand this at all, because isn't this where, like, you get the cops involved? Am I crazy? Isn't this where, like, apparently, there's a sign out front of the door that have vowed to take action against anyone who tries to evict them. Like, isn't this where the cops should get involved? Isn't this what cops get paid to do? If I'm Gordon Ramsay, I'm a little bit annoyed because, again, this property is on the market for $13 million. I don't know how that translates to UK money, but it's a lot of money. Like, it's going to be tough to sell if there's squatters in there. So that would get a little bit annoying if I'm Gordon Ramsay. Maybe he should just come down there and yell at them. Maybe that would work. I mean, he's good at that. But again, isn't this where the cops get involved? Am I crazy for that? I don't know. I don't know the squatters' rules here, but he's just got a gang of squatters at his restaurant that are saying, yeah, we're not going to leave. This is ours now. Can you just do that? Can I just show up to a pub with a bunch of my friends and be like, all right, well, this is ours now. We're not leaving. Like, I didn't think you could do that. I thought that's why we had cops. Apparently not. I don't know. Gordon Ramsay, I need an update on this story because I feel like action should be taken here. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. Someone let me know. Gordon Ramsay, my fifth player tonight. My sixth player tonight is Gary Cohen. Gary Cohen was on the call with play-by-play guy Keith Hernandez for the Mets versus Pittsburgh Pirates game last night. And Gary Cohen, the commentator, said, the corners are in against McNeil expecting a bunt. I don't think so. I mean, do they scout these teams? Basically saying that Jeff McNeil never bunts. Why are they playing corners in? McNeil will never bunt. And then right on cue, right after he says that, what does Jeff McNeil do? He drops down a bunt. Right after Gary Cohen, the commentator, said, what are these guys doing? Why are they playing in? Jeff McNeil never bunts, you idiots. What are you doing? I sympathize here because if you listened yesterday, I'm on the call a lot with Bob Angel for those baseball games. We can't always be right. We can't always be right. It happens, but Gary Cohen, maybe don't like call out the scouting department because maybe you should have been the one that scouts a little bit harder, buddy. But again, I sympathize. I'm wrong all the time on these live broadcasts. It happens. It is what it is. Gary Cohen, my sixth player tonight. My final player tonight is baseball fans. This Dodgers fan might have changed everything for baseball fans. A Dodgers fan was caught on camera after he caught a Manny Machado home run ball. Now, obviously, Manny Machado plays for San Diego. San Diego and the Dodgers have a little bit of a beef. And on top of that, Manny Machado used to play for LA before he went over to San Diego. So there's history there. There's beef. Well, this Dodgers fan was in the bleachers. He catches Manny Machado's home run ball. And to be a good fan, he throws the ball back onto the field like we see so many times when it's a home field game like Yankees, Red Sox. Aaron Judge hits a home run into Fenway bleachers. The Fenway fan throws it back on the field. We see it all the time in baseball. But what the camera caught here is that the Dodgers fan pulled the old switcheroo. He had a baseball in his pocket. And when he caught the Manny Machado ball, he put that baseball, the caught home run ball, into his other pocket, reached into his other pocket to grab the replica fake ball and threw that ball onto the field. So basically, he wanted to appear as a good Dodgers fan, but also he just caught a Manny Machado home run ball. He didn't want to give that up, right? So he did a little switcheroo. He didn't think anybody would catch him, but it's 2024 where everyone sees everything. So good try, buddy. Baseball fans, my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight, we got more play-in action across the NBA tonight. In Philly, I'm taking the 76ers -5.5 against the Heat. No Rozier for the Miami Heat. I think that's hurts. On top of that, Philly's been playing great ball. 8 in a row coming into the playoffs. I hate to say it, but Philly has been playing great. And I think Draymond Green, I actually agree with his stance that when it comes to wanting to play the Knicks or the Celtics round one, that's an easy decision. You want to play the Knicks. So for this game that is for the 7th seed, these two teams are going to be scrapping to try to avoid the Boston Celtics in round one and try to get the Knicks round one. Instead, I'm going to go with the 76ers here at -5.5. Later on tonight, that 9-10 matchup, it's the Hawks taking on the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. It has been announced that DeMar DeRozan's little daughter, she's like a 5-year-old girl, I don't have her name in front of me, but last year in the play-in tournament, in Chicago, she was going absolute berserk on the sidelines during free throws for the other team trying to get in their head. The team shot awfully from the free throw line, and online everybody was saying, well, we have to attribute this win to DeMar DeRozan's daughter. It has been announced that DeMar DeRozan's daughter will not be here in Chicago for this game tonight against the Hawks. With that being said, I'm going to go with the Hawks. Bulls are missing their best defensive player and DeMar DeRozan's daughter. I'm going Hawks here at +3.5. That's the late game on ESPN. And then later on tonight, I'm going to take the Red Sox. I know they've been struggling. I'm taking the Sox against the Guardians at -130. The Red Sox send Tanner Houck to the mound. And meanwhile, for the Cleveland Guardians, they're going to send, making his first start of the season. Has not started a game this season, a journeyman in Ben Lively, the 32-year-old right-hander last year at a 5.38 ERA. So hopefully the Red Sox bats can get going against a guy that's essentially coming off the couch. So I'll go Red Sox here at -130. To wrap that parlay up, I'm taking the Philadelphia 76ers at -5.5, the Atlanta Hawks at +3.5. And the Boston Red Sox at -130. Lock that parlay in. Get yourself some walking around money and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight. When Caitlin Clark got drafted Monday night, that was the WNBA draft, we got a look at her rookie contract, which is 4 years worth around $339,000. Obviously, well below an NBA player. Obviously, well below a lot of professional sports players. This first year, her base salary will be around $76,000, a nice, comfortable living. Again, obviously nothing like you see in men's professional sports. With that being said, there was a lot of people online making a huge deal about Caitlin Clark's salary. First thing I'd like to point out, let's not forget that she's getting endorsements. And second thing I would like to point out is the people that were making huge deals about Caitlin Clark's salary are the same people that have probably never watched a WNBA game. Do you not understand how this works? If you want her to have a bigger salary, then start attending the games and watching the games and buying the merchandise. Until then, don't complain that she's not making enough. Do you not understand how that whole business model works? So I get it. I agree she should be making more, but don't sit there and complain about it and then not watch a single WNBA game. That's just how it is. And then my second stance tonight, we didn't talk too much about O.J. Simpson, but O.J. Simpson, of course, passed away last week. And it was revealed by ABC that in his final days, O.J. Simpson's had all his kids and visitors who came to his bedside. They had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. His family was not allowed to have their phones or any devices in the room while they were saying their goodbyes. Huh. That's weird. I wonder what could have gone on in his life that would make his family and friends need to sign an NDA right before he dies. That's strange. I can't think of anything that comes to mind off the top of the head, but rest in peace, OJ. And his family and friends are keeping those lips sealed. With that being said, that's going to do it for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You've been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horn on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WEDK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
AM, WEDK Newport, powered by VD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WEDK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate Democrats voting as a bloc killed the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has the latest.
The Senate trial ended before it even began, with votes to deem the two articles of impeachment sent over by the House unconstitutional.